Welcome. This is our third class on the subject of my take on the end times. And the title of this class is Deception and Delusion. And what that leads to is an increase of evil in the world, in case you haven't noticed.
Yeah.
Two things that I've heard taught by some at this time. One of our friends has found a teacher online, I guess, who's teaching that we're already in the tribulation period. I don't know if anybody else who believes that or is teaching that, but that teaching is out there and people are hearing it. And another one is the teaching that the rapture is imminent and could come at any time. And so we're going to... How many of you have heard about these things or read about these things? Okay, yeah. And let's look at Luke chapter 21, verses 8 through 11 first. Luke 21, 8 through 11. And Jesus said, "Take heed that you not be deceived, for many will come in my name, saying, 'I am he,' and the time has drawn near. Therefore, do not go after them. But when you hear of wars and commotions, do not be terrified, for these things must come to pass first, but the end will not come immediately." Then he said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom, and there will be great earthquakes in various places and famines and pestilences, and there will be fearful sights and great signs from heaven." Everybody got that?
Yes. Yeah.
That's one, all the things that we talked about in our first class of unique signs of the end times. Now turn to verse 18. Let's start in verse 16. Verse 16 of Luke 21. "You will be betrayed even by parents and brothers, relatives and friends, and they will put some of you to death. And you will be hated by all for my name's sake, but not a hair of your head shall be lost. By your patience possess your souls." In some countries, that's already happening. We know that Christians are being slaughtered by radical Muslims in many different African countries and in Asian countries. So, anyway, let's go to Matthew 24 now. Matthew chapter 24. Start in verse 11. "Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many." You get the theme about deception?
Yeah.
"And increase, and because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." And then verse 24. "For false Christs and false prophets will arise and show great signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. See, I have told you beforehand."
Yeah.
So it is possible that great deception is coming. Mm-hmm. Okay, so the question that I raised first about the already being in the tribulation, let's look at Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. Revelation 6, 1 and 2. "Now I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying with a voice like thunder, 'Come and see.' And I looked, and behold, a white horse. He who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him anyone out conquering and to conquer. So the teachers of this prophecy that we're in the rapture already are saying this. The crown, the word for crown in Greek is corona. And bow in the Greek, that word is T-O-X-O-N, toxon, from which we get toxin.
Wow.
And that could also mean a poison or a poison dart instead of a bow and arrow. So a rider on a white horse bringing a crown and a poison dart conquering and to conquer sounds a lot like the coronavirus and, you know, the mandatory vaccines and things like that. And what those were sent to do was to conquer and take down leaders who before that were thriving and were dominant on the world stage and now have been taken out. And to kill many, to ruin the economies, and to put the world into fear. And to try and get people to start thinking about organizing into one world government and one world order.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then look at verse 6. Verse 6 of Revelation 6. Oh, let's make it verse 4. I'm sorry, verse 4. Another horse, fiery red, went out. And it was granted to the one who sat on it to take peace from the earth, and that people should kill one another. And there was given to him a great sword. Well, we've got the Russia invading Ukraine, and news people talking about World War III, and no, that's not what it is. This, whatever is happening in Ukraine is another deception. What we're being reported is not everything or mostly all of what's really happening there. And, you know, you can believe what you want about it, but if you go to alternate places that try to tell the truth, you'll learn things that aren't being told by the mainstream media people.
Amen.
And, you know, it shouldn't be surprised to anyone that the mainstream media is lying to us. They've been lying to us for years and years and years.
Yeah.
And if you take everything that the major headlines on all the networks are saying and believe just the opposite, you'll be right about 90% of the time. So the red horse is coming to take peace from the earth. And it sounds a little bit like that's happening. But we're not about to go into World War III. It's a deception to add to people's fear, because the first round of deception with the coronavirus is dying down and they needed something else
right.
to excite people to take the focus off the fact that we're getting close to finding out the truth about the election in 2020 and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
And the evil plots of the wicked are about to be exposed,
right.
So they need something to focus people's attention on other than them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's what this is partially about, okay?
Yes.
Now, the second thing that people are teaching is that the rapture is imminent. Well, let's look at 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and I'm going to read verses 1 through 12. Now, brothers and sisters, concerning the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ and our gathering together to him, we ask you not to be soon shaken in mind or troubled, either by spirit or by word or by letter, as if from us, as though the day of Christ had come. After Paul taught about the rapture in the future and things that were going to happen at end times, people came after him, Judaizers, and people trying to obliterate the effectiveness of his message. And they told him, you missed it, the Christ has already come and you've missed it, and there's no hope for your loved ones. If they're dead, they're never going to rise again, and things like that. So he's saying, don't be shaken in mind or troubled by spirit or by word or by letter as if it were from us, because the day of Christ has not come yet. Let no one deceive you, verse 3, by any means, for that day will not come unless the falling away comes first. And the man of sin is revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalts himself above all that is called God or all that is worshipped, so that he sits as God in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Do you not remember that when I was still with you, I told you these things? Well, as far as I know, the Antichrist, the man of perdition, has not yet been revealed.
Right.
Some people think it's this guy and some people think it's that. And there is no temple in Jerusalem. And he hasn't gone into it and put a statue of himself in there like Antiochus did during the Maccabee era and told people that they had to worship him and not God. That has not happened, nor can it happen imminently. It's going to take a little while before that temple's built and before things come to a head and those circumstances can be met. So then he goes on to say, do you not remember that I was still with you? I told you these things. And now you know, And now you know what is restraining, that he may be revealed in his time. For the mystery of lawlessness is already at work, only he who now restrains will do so until he is taken out of the way, and then the lawless one will be revealed. A lot of people think that that means that the one who's restraining is the Holy Spirit in believing Christians, and the way that they're taken out of the way to pave the way for the Antichrist is by the rapture. There's other explanations, lots of them. Some people think that he who now restrains is God himself. Some people think that it's the governments that are in control of nations at this time, because there's not one world government and one world order yet. And some people think it is the Holy Spirit. And most people think that God the Father himself is the one that's holding evil back. So is it an institution of human government? Is it the state of Israel holding it back? Is it the Holy Spirit in us, or is it God the Father, or is it any of those things? We don't really know. So to put all of your eggs in one basket and say this must mean that the rapture is going to happen, I wonder. We'll talk more about this as we go along. Maybe not today. So the question remains, is the rapture imminent, and are we already in the tribulations? Now let's go back to the Gospel of Luke. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. Luke 21, verses 25 through 28. And there will be signs in the sun, in the moon, and in the stars, and on earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them from fear, and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to happen, look up and lift your heads, because your redemption draws near. Or in some translations it says your redemption draws nigh. Many have taught for years and years that this means near in time. That your redemption draws nigh is a time relationship. And we're getting closer and closer to the end. But what if it actually means near in proximity, rather than time. I have an illustration that I've concealed until now, so we can look and see what I think that means. I didn't want you all focusing on the board and not listening to me before now. I know how you kids can be.
Everybody see?
Turn it around.
Turn it around?
Yep.
Flip it?
Turn it.
You're going to flip it?
No, right, turn it. I'm sorry. Turn it. The wheel. Turn just turn it. Hey, the rotate.
Okay. Can everybody see the board? It does flip, yeah.
Okay. Can you guys see it over there? This is heaven, or the third heaven, where God, Jesus, and the angels exist. This is the second heaven, also called the heavenlies or heavenly places, where demons, principalities, power, rulers of darkness of this current age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places exist. Those things are mentioned in Ephesians chapter 6. And this is the earth where we live, mankind. And so, if God is drawing near in proximity, that's the heaven coming closer to earth. Haven't we been praying for decades and even centuries, your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven?
Yes.
And so that's causing pressure. That heaven coming closer in proximity is causing pressure on the heavenly places. And that's rousing the demons to fear and to increase their spiritual attacks. And that's why so many people are dealing with so many different things, feeling attacked left and right. And we're also dealing with all kinds of wars and rumors of wars, natural disasters, because these four things, powers, principalities, rulers of darkness, and spiritual hosts of wickedness, is what Satan uses to take down entire nations and even destroy individuals. Mm-hmm. And it says in the scripture that we just read that the heavens are shaking. The heavenly places are shaking. And that shaking is stirring them up. It's like going to a hornet's nest. Nothing good ever happens when you do that.
That's good.
And so here on earth, the increased pressure from this getting closer and this being shaken and amping up their pressure is causing earthquakes, volcanoes, natural disasters, and wars and rumors of wars on earth, which is what the scriptures have just predicted would happen. So you see, it doesn't necessarily mean that it's drawing nigh in terms of time. It could be that it's drawing nigh in terms of proximity. It's literally getting closer. And the goal of all of this in the demonic realm is to establish a new world order and for Satan to be in charge of the entire earth. We know that they partially succeed, but we know who wins in the end.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
And we never need to question that.
Right.
It says in verse 26, "For the powers of heaven will be shaken," in Luke 21 and 26. The powers of heaven will be shaken. And it causes them to ramp up their attacks and their strategies. And what we see is there's war against our individual freedoms. They're trying to take away our freedom of movement to come and go freely. They were trying to do that. They've been trying to take away our freedom of religion. They've already censored our freedom of speech quite effectively. And eventually they'll probably attack our right to bear arms and go after the Second Amendment. The forces of evil are trying to dominate. The seven mountains of influence we spoke of last week are mostly already in their control. I'll repeat those seven mountains of influence and power. Now, the first one is government. Okay, they stole the election in 2020, so they're in control of our government. Second is the economy. We had the greatest economy in the world and were the envy of every other country until they unleashed the coronavirus, or someone did. And it took down our economy and gave them a way to oust our rightful president and put their own puppet in place. They have control of the media. The mainstream media in America has been nothing more than a propaganda arm of the liberal left for a long time, long, long time. They've taken control of arts. Hollywood is totally sold out to the radical left agenda, socialism, gay rights, LGBTQ, all that kind of stuff. They've taken control or caused us to lose control of the nuclear family because there's way more single mothers raising children than there have been. There's people who are having children without being married more than there ever has been. And, you know, the abortions are killing off generations of children that were never allowed to be born. And they went after religious freedom by trying to close churches and saying that liquor stores were more essential than churches being open. Mm-hmm. And, of course, they've totally censored our freedom of speech. I've been censored by Facebook many times for posts that weren't that radical, and many of our friends have been in Facebook jail. And they took the President of the United States off of Twitter and YouTube and all of his media, his social media channels. And, you know, they've been quite successful. And what we said last time is that the forces of evil that are trying to dominate these seven mountains of influence to bring about one world order, government, and religion is a call for the church to stand strong, oppose, and resist these strategies. And if we don't do it, you know, it may be getting late in time. And that's why so many prophets have been talking about 2 Chronicles 7:14. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and turn from their wicked ways and pray, I'll hear from heaven, I'll come and heal their land.
What was that address again? 2 Chronicles?
2 Chronicles 7:14.
7:14?
Yeah. So, does anyone have a question so far?
What was the seventh
mountain?
Yeah. I have
five. Religious freedom.
Education
is four. Seven is religious freedom and freedom of speech. Other questions? So there's other possible deceptions that could be coming. Years ago when Jane and I first moved to Florida, we were renting in the Villages in the old section for 6 months, and we went to a Bible study on Friday afternoon at the Paradise Rec Room, Recreation Center. And they showed a video of how when the rapture happens, that they were heavy into pre-tribulation rapture, and they were assuming that that's the truth, so they were just going on that assumption. And when the rapture happens, the Catholic Church and other secular agents have already established a strategy to convince the world that the Christians were taken by aliens and that we're under threat of an alien invasion.
Yeah.
And that is what they want to use to trigger one world government one world religion and one and a new world order. That's a deception strategy that's already planned and has been for a long time. And they showed evidence of it in different places. And the current pope that we have could be a strong candidate to be the false prophet who's the head of the new one world religion. And a lot of people have named one of our ex-presidents as a possible antichrist figure. We'll see what happens. There's other ways that aliens could figure in a great deception. Sure.
I don't want to interrupt you. Are you talking about out there in California when they talk about aliens supposed to come and take over and all of them people have died in them plastic bags? Remember that?
No, I'm talking about a strategy to deceive people at the end of the age now, not something that happened a long time ago.
As believers, we know that there's no aliens, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yes.
So this is all a hoax. It's all part of the,
right.
The
okay, but,
confusion that they want to put us through.
But there's a lot of people who have no faith.
Absolutely.
Who don't believe that the Bible is the true and inspired word of God and don't believe that Jesus is the Savior of mankind. And for those people, they could jump on board with a deception like this. And Jesus warned that these false prophets will come and do signs and wonders that may fool, if possible, even God's elect. We just read that.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not really strong in your foundational faith and you don't know how to profess that to other people, you could be at risk for being deceived. Jane?
Yeah, I think all of us in this room realize the power of the Spirit of God. But the demons also have power. And some of their power is what is going to deceive people who don't believe in either one. Or even they maybe are worshiping demons, but right. They don't understand that what they're seeing in this phenomenon is actually the power of Satan.
They will be able to do certain signs and wonders.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Remember in Egypt when Moses threw down his staff
mm-hmm.
and it became a living thing.
Yeah.
I'm not going to get into that, but the sorcerers of Pharaoh threw down their staff and theirs became snakes. So they had a similar deceptive ability to create those kind of wonders. But the one that Moses threw down ate up all the ones that they threw down. So we know whose power is greater.
Amen.
Now, the other form that this deception may take is that they will introduce fallen angels that the Bible refers to as Nephilim
mm-hmm.
as if they were aliens. And they will claim that they were the ones who started life on earth and created everything. And they built the pyramids and they did this and they did that. And we're really the offspring of them and not of some unseen God.
Mm-hmm.
And there will be people who believe that. Because they believed in evolution and not creation theory.
Right.
It's not that hard to get people to believe a false doctrine.
Right.
And so turn to Genesis chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verses 1 through 7. Genesis 6, 1 through 7. Now it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth and daughters were born to them that the sons of God, those are fallen angels, mm-hmm. saw the daughters of men that they were beautiful and they took wives for themselves of all whom they chose. And the Lord said, my spirit shall not strive with man forever, for he is indeed flesh, yet his days shall be 120 years. There were giants on the earth in those days, and also afterward, when the sons of God came into the daughters of men, and they bore children to them. Those were the mighty men who were of old, men of renown. An example of that is Nimrod, who tried to build the Tower of Babel. Remember Nimrod? Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved in his heart. How did this come about, even back then? When, before the earth as we know it was created by God, the earth already existed, most people believe. And I can show you evidence for this in Scripture. And there was a time, Jeremiah talks about a time when the earth had forests and cities were being built and it had roads and there were animals and birds, but man was not yet on the face of the earth. And it was the angels who are God's messengers who were building the cities and setting up the earth for his great creation. He was going to create a being in his own image that he could love and that could love him back and that would be his family. Because even though he had created angels, they were created in his holiness. And they only saw the holiness of God. They couldn't see, receive, or understand or give back love to God. That's why when they fly around the throne, the seraphim, filled with eyes everywhere, constantly peering into God to try and see what they can learn about God, all they ever say is, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts, who was and is and is to come. The whole world is filled with his glory."
Amen.
Because they were created in holiness. But God is love. He's overflowing with love. And he needed something, someone to give love to pour out his love upon. And so he said, "Let us make man in our image." And Satan, okay, Lucifer at the time, was an angel walking about on the earth seeking revelations from the heart of God that he would then reveal to everyone else. That was his job, one of his jobs. He was called Son of the Morning, by the way. Lucifer, Son of the Morning. Well, Jesus was called the Bright and Morning Star. And so many people believe that Lucifer was Jesus' personal angel. And that's why he was the one who had to tempt Jesus in the wilderness after he was filled with the Holy Spirit and was about to start his earthly ministry, because they were equal but adversarial, not really equal, but they had been for a long time. And he was the one who could challenge or tempt Jesus. And Jesus had to say all the things he said. Man does not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. It's not good to tempt the Lord your God. Things like that. So, in Psalm 8, it says, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you," you know. I'll go there, Psalm 8. On this quote. This isn't in my notes. I'm winging it now.
Okay.
"O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, who have set your glory above the heavens." Verse 4, "What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? For you have made him a little lower than the angels." That word angels is really Elohim. In Hebrew, it's God himself. "You've made them a little lower than God himself."
Mm-hmm.
So when Satan came across this revelation in the heart of God that he was about to create man in his own image, he became enraged. And he wanted to usurp man's position so he would be the closest thing to God. And that's what started the rebellion that had him and the other fallen angels cast out of heaven before man had even been created yet. He was enraged. He wanted to be a man. He was jealous of the position we would have. Because remember, I told you about the five kingdoms. The kingdom of God, the kingdom of man, the kingdom of the angels, the kingdom of animals, and the kingdom of plants. Well, before man was created, angels were second to God only. But now they've moved down to third. So when Satan convinced the serpent, which was, I really believe, was like a flying dragon in those days, to tempt Eve to get her to eat the fruit of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, he did it with a cunning lie that was half truth and half lie. Mm-hmm. And he's the father of lies, right?
Yeah.
And so by yielding to that temptation, now Eve was deceived, but Adam knew better. He was not deceived. He was standing right there the whole time. He could have stopped it, but instead he did it. He rebelled against God too. And so man lost their position as right beneath God, and were pushed down to the level of animals at that time.
Mm-hmm.
And the angels were elevated back up to being next to God. And what that allowed for was an animal sacrifice to take the place of the wage of human sin.
Oh, wow.
The wage of sin is death. But if they were equal to the animals, then they could sacrifice an animal, and it would take the place of their death by the animal's death, and the blood was put on the mercy seat, or eventually the mercy seat.
Mm-hmm.
And God made a covenant, an actual blood covenant with Adam, saying that from now on the animal will take the place of your sin debt. When Jesus came to earth as a man, he became the perfect sacrifice once for all. And by being sacrificed as a man and putting his own blood on the heavenly mercy seat, he made it possible for man to be elevated back into their position above the angels and under God again. He had to come as a man to do that. Only a man could restore mankind. And so, Isaiah chapter 14, let's look there. I'm going to give you scriptural evidence for this that you may never have noticed, or that you have noticed but didn't put together the way I'm trying to. Isaiah 14, starting in verse 12. How you are fallen from heaven, O Lucifer, son of the morning. How you are cut down to the ground, you who weakened the nations, for you have said in your heart, I will ascend into heaven. That means he was on earth. Because in order to ascend into heaven, you have to be on earth. Heaven is above the earth. I will exalt my throne above the stars of God. I will also sit on the Mount of Congregation on the farthest sides of the north. I will ascend above the heights of the clouds. I will be like the Most High. You see, he wanted to be a man. The only one who was like the Most High was man, created in God's image. But he's saying right here, I will be like the Most High. But the Lord's response is, yet you shall be brought down to Sheol, to the lowest depths of the pit. Those who see you will gaze at you and consider you, saying, is this the man who made the earth tremble, who shook kingdoms, who made the world as a wilderness and destroyed its cities, who did not open the house of his prisoners? Okay. Go to Ezekiel chapter 28. Ezekiel 28, starting in verse 11. You were the seal of perfection, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. You were in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was your covering. The sardius, topaz, and diamond, beryl, onyx, and jasper, sapphire, turquoise, and emerald with gold. The workmanship of your timbrels and pipes was prepared for you, or in you, on the day you were created. So it's talking about a created being whose outer covering is precious gems and stones and whose heartbeat is like a timbrel or a tambourine, and he has pipes and organs built into him. That's Lucifer, okay? You were the anointed cherub who covers, I established you. You were on the holy mountain of God. That's on earth. You walked back and forth in the midst of fiery stones. That's where he's seeking the revelations of God. And you were perfect in your ways from the day you were created till iniquity was found in you. By the abundance of your trading, or the way you dealt with things, you became filled with violence within and you sinned. Therefore, I cast you as a profane thing out of the mountain of God, and I destroyed you, O covering cherub, from the midst of the fiery stones. Okay?
Wow.
And last but not least, Jeremiah. I think it's chapter 4. Jeremiah 4, starting in verse 23. I beheld the earth, and indeed it was out without form and void, and the heavens, they had no light. I beheld the mountains, and indeed they trembled, and all the hills moved back and forth. I beheld, and indeed there was no man, and all the birds of heaven had fled. I beheld, and indeed the fruitful land was a wilderness, and all its cities were broken down at the presence of the Lord by his fierce anger. So he's seeing an earth where there were birds in the heavens, cities, mountains, hills, and it was all starting to be destroyed and broken down. And that's what happened by the rebellion of Satan and his rage and the one-third of all the angels that were thrown down to earth with him. Everything that they had been preparing for man, they then destroyed. Mm-hmm. And that's why it says in Genesis 1,
Jeremiah 4,
23 through 27, right? Then in Genesis 1, it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form. But that word was actually in Hebrew means became without form and void. The earth became without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. So those scriptures go along with what I'm trying to say, is that Satan wanted to be a man. He saw man was going to be created in the image of God and would be above him in status, and so he did everything he could to throw man down and usurp his place, but God had no part of it. And as a result, everything that angels had been working on earth for our benefit was destroyed. And then the earth was then became formless and void, and God started his process of creation over again.
Wow.
If you will.
It's amazing.
Yes. But there's archaeological evidence even for these things. Lost civilizations that never really existed in the 6,000 years of our history. There's even evidence of a flood prior to Noah's flood. And some of these are extra-biblical references, I admit that. But there's evidence for it in our world, so we have to, you know. But the scriptures that I read, there was an earth before men with cities, hills, mountains, and all these things on it. And it started to be torn down by the rage of these fallen angels that became demons, powers, principalities, rulers of darkness of the current age, and spiritual hosts of wickedness in heavenly places. And that's what we're dealing with now. And they also could be revealed as Nephilim, and be called aliens by our current governments to cause a delusion on people to believe that God isn't our creator and that these things work.
Wow.
They're still trying to take the place of God even now. Now, who has ever heard of CERN in Switzerland? CERN.
Switzerland?
It's in Switzerland, yeah.
Oh, yes.
CERN, CERN.
Right.
They have built there an enormous, it's called a particle collider. Many governments and scientists collaborated on this project. And their goal was to, what they said their goal was to find the God particle, quote unquote, the building block of all creation, that God particle. That's what they're looking for. But what really they wanted to do was to use the tremendous power generated by this thing to open a portal to the underworld that would be able to bring these demonic forces through into our world and bring about their goals so that the whole world could be overcome by Satan and his minions. They couldn't do it until they had a president in the White House who would go along with their plan. And they couldn't do it the first times they tried because it also requires a religious ritual to be part of the process of opening this portal. In 2008, Obama became president. The first thing he signed into law was abortion on demand. Any government that is for child sacrifice or abortion on demand is not worshiping the God of heaven. I'll just say that.
Amen.
They're worshiping Baal or Satan. Baal is the one who demanded child sacrifices. And they would take their children and sacrifice them to Molech, a form of Baal. It was this giant statue, and they put the kids in there and throw them into the fire. Anyway, they tried to open it without a religious ritual before, and they could see faces, demonic faces, hideous faces on the other side, but they couldn't open it and let them come through. So they ramped it up. They increased the power, and they had a plan to finally do this in September of 2015, and during Obama's second term and before Trump, before he was out of office, in other words. And the religious ritual that had to be part of it is human sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
And they actually had videos of a person being sacrificed, and they said it was all staged, it was just a Hollywood production, and it wasn't real. Well, then world leaders dressed in suits and ties from countries all over the world came to CERN and sat in this huge outdoor amphitheater, and they put on this play. And in the play, the workers and the builders of this CERN project came out, and they were building this thing. And then they came down from the scaffolding and the building that they were doing and participated in a hideous mime of a sexual orgy. And then they finally got the thing to open, and this man with the head of a goat came walking out, and everyone cheered and applauded and and just stood on their feet in a great ovation. And they said, it's just a play. It doesn't mean anything. But they're bringing the goat man as the essence of Satan out of this portal into our world, and these leaders are all applauding it. So they tried, they had their goal to make it happen. I think it was September 23rd of 2015. And in the meantime, there were prophets and intercessors all over America who knew of their plan through prophetic enlightenment by God. They met in a secret location, they interceded and prayed and sought the Lord, and they blocked it from being open and successful.
Praise God.
They blocked it. And it's only now, all these years later, that a couple of those people have been released by God to even talk about it. Because things are getting bad quickly and, you know, we need to know. And so then they decided that on 2/22/22 was another day that they were going to try and make this happen. And about a week or more before that, this mysterious light appeared in Washington, D.C. over the Capitol and over the White House. And it was unearthly light. And they were trying to open this portal. And again, the intercessors and prophets and people got together and they blocked it. But the demonic, they're numerologists. They have all kinds of scientific abilities, the demons and fallen angels. The Satanist is a scientist and a legalist. And they're trying to use this to open this portal. There's evidence in hieroglyphs from ancient Egypt that the Egyptians had a way of opening the portal way back then. And things came through that became some of the gods of Egypt. And there's a picture of a boat that's called the Boat of a Million Faces, I think it is. And there's these demonic figures standing on this boat on the Nile River in Egypt. And some people think that they might have built the pyramids and done other things that mankind isn't capable of doing. I'm just throwing this out for you. You know, take what you like and leave the rest. But I believe that CERN is real, that what I've been told about it is real, that these things are actually happening and they're trying to achieve their goal in multiple ways.
When I tried to use Google, I haven't found CERN. But if you use DuckDuckGo, you will find all sorts of things on CERN. You have to use DuckDuckGo. You have to use a different server than Google because they do filter a lot of things.
Yeah. Thank you, Jen.
Bruce,
DuckDuckGo.
Is it the pyramid and the Washington Theopolis is a sign of when I was in the Valley of the King, I saw that same picture. That's Theopolis. So I understand what you're saying. Saying it very clear. Man has been used. They used to show a picture on TV trying to get to the dark side, and they were trying to open up this thing.
Right.
And that's what you.
Well, let me just say this: CERN is built on the old temple of Apollo. And in the Book of Revelation, when they open the bottomless pit, the one that comes out is Apollyon.
Oh.
Right? And why would they build it on the old temple of Apollo if it was to look for the God part of it?
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
Outside CERN, at the entrance, is a statue of this God that has like six arms and... And on the cover of Newsweek magazine, it showed Obama posing as that statue with six arms.
Oh, wow.
You can look it up.
Wow.
And they have a picture of that false god, demonic god, was on the Empire State Building
right.
a few years ago.
Right.
Servius or whatever the name of that thing is. And why, you know? Okay, so then they, in Revelation, in Jesus' letter to the churches, he talks about the church in Pergamos and how they were close to the throne of Satan. Remember those words? That you dwelt near the throne of Satan. Well, the archaeologists uncovered this ancient throne that was in Pergamos, and they recreated it. They rebuilt it. And Hitler had it moved to Nuremberg, and he made a speech in front of this giant throne of Satan thing when he came up with the final solution to kill all the Jews.
Mm-hmm.
And in Denver, Colorado, they recreated the throne of Pergamos in Mile High Stadium, and Obama walked out and gave a message from the throne of Satan. In Denver, Colorado.
Wow.
They also recreated the Arch of Baal.
Mm-hmm.
this giant arch that they discovered, and it was almost ruined, but they used 3D imaging to recreate it. And there's been 1,000 of them made. There was one in London for Boris Johnson. There was one in Rome outside the Vatican. There was one in New York City that when Hillary Clinton was giving a speech during her campaign. And then there was one that they moved to Washington, D.C. Why would we need these arches of Baal everywhere?
Yeah.
What's that about? Wow. You see? So, this whole thing, from start to finish, is a history of the war between good and evil. And thank God we know that evil wins, or that good wins out in the end. That,
yeah.
evil is defeated.
Amen.
But right now, people could be deceived. And I don't want anybody who's ever listened to me to be deceived about anything, because they stand strong in their faith and in the Word of God, and in their, and you have to have an intimate personal relationship with God. You have to learn to walk, live, and study in the Spirit and not from the flesh.
Yes, amen.
Okay? So,
amen.
That's it for today, unless you have any other questions.
Yeah.
Woo. Wow.
Thank you.
Just
actually based on that stuff.
Dennis, I
just have a curiosity question. The Nephilim.
Nephilim, yes.
Were they all men? Is that why they came down to Earth and took the women?
There's no answer to those kind of questions because. They were spirit beings. I don't know how they could interact with flesh, but apparently they were able to.
You were saying that they created that
That's what the Bible says.
Yeah, the Bible says that out of that these ancient warriors.
Yes.
Yeah.
Like Nimrod and giants and things like that. But it also said that it happened then, but it also happened at other times. And the other times were after the flood, when they started experimenting, evil started experimenting with genetic manipulation. That's what it was about. It was about genetic manipulation, taking what God had created and corrupting it with this evil DNA. That's why Jesus came, to put in godly DNA through the Holy Spirit that would transform us from sinners to saints, instead of them putting their evil DNA to make these creatures like Goliath. Goliath of Gath had 6 fingers and 6 toes or more, and he was 9 to 13 feet tall, different reports. But he was the result of genetic manipulation. He wasn't born of a woman and a man in a normal way. It said he had 100 fathers and a dog. The DNA from 100 men and a dog were used to fertilize a human egg and create Goliath, in other words. And another interesting little factor is that in the book of Ruth, it talks about 2 daughters-in-law of Naomi, Ruth and Orpah. Ruth stayed with Naomi and went back to Israel, but Orpah went back to her own land. And Ruth eventually was the great-great-great-grandmother of King David. And in Babylonian Talmud writings, it says that Orpah was the great-great-grandmother of Goliath of Gath. And those 2 former sister-in-laws had that epic battle in 1 Samuel. So that's enough for today. You won't remember most of it anyway.
A lot of research.
But it's good that we recorded it so you can all listen again if you so choose.
Can we get you up?
God bless you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bruce.